All right, thank you all for being here, and welcome. I hope you had enough to eat. And so we can start. Donald Darling was my mother's youngest brother, and he was born and grew up in Southern New Hampshire, in Rochester, New Hampshire. He went to Spalding, graduated from Spalding High School. And that's where I was born, in the same place. So he was an authentic Yankee, by the real, you know, Mark Twain wrote the book Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. He was an authentic Yankee, as I am as well. Even though I grew up in northern Vermont, but I am from southern New Hampshire, Donald was, and he carried with him the culture with him wherever he went. He graduated from high school and immediately went to Milwaukee School of Engineering and graduated after, I think, a two-year course maybe. Not sure, and then went to work for a company called Collins Radio. And we have on this table, we have, starting from the left, we have that early part of his years, high school, education, and moving towards the center of the table, it goes to his work, the bowling team, which I knew nothing about until we saw pictures of it, and into astronomy. There is lots of astronomy here. And then over on the far right here will be his interest in Bible and scripture and building plans for a birdhouse too. So it covers and the time. Well, I'll get to that. What's not included in here was interest in leathercraft, making belts and whatnot. He was really into that, as well as rocks and minerals. And when he lived in Iowa, but every summer would come out to Vermont, and we would travel all around. And he was interested in rocks and minerals, so we went to all the quarries, and he's got a collection of all kinds of rocks and minerals that he'd studied, and could have brought them, but they're rocks, so we didn't really, you know. He was also interested in photography. He and his father had really good Canon cameras, and they took 35-millimeter slides and went all over in Florida and in Iowa and wherever, and took a lot of pictures. My grandfather, his father, loved taking pictures of bridges. And everywhere they went, if they saw a bridge, they had to stop and take a picture of it. I don't know why. And so all these slides we've got, I've got a lot of slides, all of my grandfather's slides and his father's slides and his slides, 35 millimeter, and the colors have faded a little bit, but there's 80% of them are bridges and trees and things like that. Very few people. So photography was a big deal for him, and shortwave radio, all kinds of interests, a wide range of interests then, and a lot of things that he took up and he dropped. I don't know how long he bowled, for instance. I have no idea, but he did. It was on the team. There's the picture. And so he would be, as most intelligent people are, they are interested in all kinds of things, and they don't settle on one thing, and they take it up for a while, and they go away. And when he retired in around 1991, my mother was living here in Seaford at the time, and so his parents had moved to Florida and spent their retirement years and bought a house, built a house, and he bought a plot of land right next to theirs, thinking that he would go down there as well. They moved up, they aged, moved up to Vermont and spent their last years there. So time passed. My mother moved to Seaford. He decided this would be the best place. So in 1991, he bought a house, a property in Clearbrook Estates in Seaford, and had his house delivered in pieces. And we have pictures of that and a crane. And so from 1991 until he passed away, he lived in Seaford. And he built all kinds. He got a table saw. He got all kinds of woodworking tools. He's got a lot of my grandfather's tools, and my grandfather was big into shop. That was his job, and we've got all kinds of things. And I, having gone through the garage and looked, I didn't know he owned as much as he did. I didn't know, have no idea he bought some of the tools that he had. So he built a lot of stuff in the garage, and he loved building wood cabinets and bookcases and everything. And he never threw anything out, as witnessed by the papers here. They were easy to find. He never threw anything out. And as a good Yankee, he never threw any piece of wood out. A little 11-inch piece of strip wood might be useful sometime, so it wound up in a cabinet. That's the Yankee way to do it, and he did. It's in a cabinet. It's still there. I would need a trailer to take. We took a trailer to the dump, but he never threw cardboard box up. One of his things that he did, I didn't bring a sample of it, but when he was done with a cereal box, he would cut it up and glue or staple or tape a large cereal box down into the bottom third of the box. And then he would strengthen it with tape or whatever, and then use that as a little holding tray for other things he has not thrown out, like screws, nuts and bolts and screws. There is an incredible collection of nuts and bolts and screws and doodads handed down by my grandfather to him. So we got all this to deal with. Electronic parts and resistors and transistors and caps and things like that. I'm going to let the Timmons boys at that once we get rid of everything that we could possibly think of or need, which isn't much. But so his interests were wide and varied. Towards the last few years, as I was overhearing someone say, that the last few years his interest turned more to spiritual studies and scripture studies. He, I think, benefited tremendously by being with us here and all the years in Joshua, for instance, and you remember he always loved going up there and being responsible for the hot dog roast. And it was only in the last year or two, once he got up into 89, and couldn't move as well, he just didn't want to deal with the sidewalks at Joshua. But he really did enjoy going up and doing that, and it was a real treat for him. So that's where he was in the last few years. He had his favorite TV channel. He had satellite TV dish, and he only watched two or three channels, and they were the one preaching ministry after another. I not TBN, but There was some networks I'm not familiar with that he watched all the time, and he had his favorite preachers, and he would get their books, and he gave a lot of money away, because I'm still getting mail from every conceivable ministry, and I'm seeing it. The latest plea for money. But he was very generous, so $20 here and $30 there, whatever. He lived a good life, and he, in the last several years, wanted to see the Lord. He wanted to go to home, and he said that. He was saying that to people, when will the Lord take me? And when we saw him in the nursing home, what happened was he should have called, and I would have been glad to help, but he had this water filter under the kitchen sink, a complicated thing. I didn't know they made things like this, but it's a multiple piece of filter stuff and little hoses, and he wanted to take this out and probably replace the filters in it. And he got as far as he fell in the kitchen. He picked up, fell, and when he did, he broke his hip or his femur. And from that point on, I wish he'd called, but he fell on a Thursday, and I went in on it was a Sunday afternoon. We went got chicken at Greenwood, and I said Donnie would probably like some, so I got one order for him, and I took it down there, and he wasn't around, and so I went in, and he was laying on the floor in the bedroom. He had crawled from the kitchen to the bedroom, and couldn't get up. So got the ambulance there, he went to the hospital, got fixed up, and wound up in the nursing home. But it's just another step closer to where he really wanted to go. And then COVID hit. He got COVID, but survived that. After a broken femur and twice dislocated hip and COVID, he finally got his wish. And that's what he wanted. And he wanted to go to his heavenly reward. And I think there will be. And so the last thing I would say is this little box down here is an example of what he does. He would take little pieces of this is little plywood, and it's glued and screwed together. And this is part of a microwave oven that he took apart. Not sure if it was his or he found it or somebody gave it to him to fix, and he said wasn't fixable. So he took there were parts of the microwave oven all over a closet in shelves too. And I said, what in the world is he doing with this? And where'd that come from? But it's part of the microwave oven. It has a little outlet here. And if you plug it in and you plug a lamp in here, if you turn this on and press start, it's going. And the light would light the... And at the end of the time, the light will go out, the bell will ring. It doesn't make... Wouldn't really be good for, you know, reading at night. I could see the use of that. As a Yankee, I could see you plugging in a percolator and starting it up setting the timer for 20 minutes. It would perk the coffee and go for 10 minutes, and then bing, you know it's off, and you don't have to worry about overcooking your coffee. So there's always a way, but this probably demonstrates the Yankee mentality. You always use everything you've got. So you use everything, nothing gets tossed. So I fight that mentality myself. I hate throwing anything out. And maybe I'm not, maybe he's a Yankee too, huh? Yeah, see,
my brother does the same thing. He pieces of wood.
It's a terrible blight, hon, you know. Cuz you've got to have another, you got to build another place to store something, and when that fills up, you got to build another one. Yeah.
His garage that's never had a car in it. He builds surfboards and wood.
I've
She's
there. Oh. This is probably a bigger, more. This is probably a more widespread problem than we realize in more people.
You should have a yard sale for all those little pieces, because there's a lot of creative people here that have already got good things. Pieces of wood.
What do you think I could get for this? I don't know.
$2.
It's worth more than Jeff.
Good luck. Okay. All right. That's Donald's life. I appreciate it. And if anyone now has, I think we have some other people who would like to share one or two thoughts. That would be very nice. And we are being recorded. For those who can't be here, would like to hear what is said.
You don't set the timer.
I have some messages from people who couldn't be here. And basically, it's from various members of the Krieg family, which I knew that Paul and Noah used to really hang out with Uncle Donald. And I had said, you know, that I bet they had some really neat memories. And when I got these emails, they're very touching. So I'm going to do my best at reading these. The first one came from Noah, so I'll read his first. Uncle Donald was a dear brother, a man I always admired since childhood. He was a scientist, enamored with God's design in the universe. His sense of wonder was infectious, and I always learned something new about gardening, analog circuitry, or the starry heavens whenever we joined him in conversation at church, in his home, or looking through his telescope outdoors. Uncle Donald was everyone's uncle. For a long time, I didn't even know whose uncle he really was. But he was always ready to join every activity, and I remember how he helped take all my TMI friends to the beach when we needed another driver. That would be teen missions. Okay. He spent the day with us on the sand in his big brown shoes and black socks. I'll always remember him as very nerdy with a great big heart. And I cannot forget his inimitable sense of humor. At a men's retreat, when Ryan and I were in high school, Ed Miller was teaching on the Promised Land. It was all we could do to keep from busting a gut when, after Ed listed the Jebusites, Ammonites, and Perizzites among the people that Joshua drove out of the land, Uncle Donald turned to us and quietly quipped, "What about the electrolytes?" Uncle Donald was a faithful supporter throughout my term abroad on the mission field. He regularly wrote with encouraging words and news from the home front. He had a keen sense of mission based on his hopeful expectation of the Lord's return. I believe his unquenchable interest in end times study was not an academic obsession, but rather an expression of constant readiness and awareness. Even now, I wonder if his fixation on the skies did not have something to do with his anticipation of Christ's return, as if at any moment he might have expected to see Jesus coming down in glory to take us to our eternal home. And now, with the witness of a long, blessed, and faithful life, our brother Donald has passed on to that home. He will behold the day of the Lord from above. I know he will not be disappointed.
Amen.
So, I got through that one. The next one is from Pam and Bill. Bill and I, unfortunately, will not be able to attend Uncle Donald's celebration of life, but we did want to honor him with a few words. Honestly, we could honor him with many words, for in such a physically small man, he was a giant to our family. When it seemed that Donald was very careful monetarily on himself, he made sure our children were generously supplied with what they needed to attend any mission trip they went on. The importance of the gospel being spread was so valuable to Uncle Donald that when he sacrificed what he sacrificed for himself, he made sure they were able to go out. Donald saw the importance also of those trips working on and breaking their outer man to create an inner man that would give glory to the Lord. We had many laughs with our adopted Uncle Donald around many Joshua fire pits. He would stay up late with us and play a game we all created called the fire stick. You would have to draw a word with the stick in the clear Joshua sky, and others around the fire would have to guess what you wrote. Of course, we all knew Donald was a genius, and we would never be able to compete. He knew all sorts of major educated words, but one of Donald's words none of us could get. We were so confused. He spelled P-O-U-D-E-R. All of us around the fire kept having him do it over and over. We all felt stupid. We couldn't get the word. Finally, exasperated, Donald said, "It's powder." But powder was pronounced by him the way he spelled it, P-O-U-D-E-R. His New England accent. We laughed so hard, and every time I hear powder, I think of Donald. We have so many other funny stories, like him rolling Hannah's fingers up in the window of his vintage wood-grained station wagon, to just plain laughing and enjoying him telling us about his life when he was young. We as a family will always be thankful for the Lord allowing us to share in the life of our dear friend and brother in the Lord, Uncle Donald.
Amen.
Whew. Then from Emily, I won't be able to attend Uncle Donald's funeral because my husband has been exposed to COVID. I would like to say that I have many good memories of Uncle Donald. After all, he was my main transportation to and from my babysitting jobs for Bible study nights during my youth. My favorite memory of Uncle Donald was by far when he fixed my vintage radio from the 40s. When I bought it from a local antique store, I was so excited that it worked. Years later, I attempted to turn it on again, and to my disappointment, it wouldn't work. So Mom suggested I ask Uncle Donald. And so I asked him if he could tinker with it, thinking that maybe I would just drop it by and leave. But that was not the case. Hours later, I had learned a lesson in engineering. Or was it mechanics? I can't be sure. But I do know Uncle Donald took time to use his nostalgic books and dial-up internet to help, that is dial-up internet, to help educate and research where I could purchase vacuum tubes. Who knew they still made them? Uncle Donald was like that. He was selfless and helpful. He enjoyed educating others and sharing his knowledge and love for the Lord. I will look at that vintage radio and think of him, the Uncle Donald I knew was practical and yet a righteous man of God. I will miss him.
This is from Carol Moore. I can't remember the actual year that Donald and his sister came to Delaware. Well, we just found out. But I can remember that he had a house in Seaford and grew a vegetable garden in the backyard. When he first came, I didn't know him well, but I found I could ease into a conversation with him about gardening. He also went to Hoshwell each year and built the fire to roast the hot dogs. In the year that Mars came closest to the earth, 2003, in case anybody forgot, 2003. He invited people to come to his house one night and look at the Mars through the telescope. A lot of the home school kids went to see the red planet. Donald also went to Richmond conferences. One year he went to the science building on campus to see what was going on and what type of laboratories were there. He told us all the scientific stuff that was going on in the building during that conference. That year I think I realized he was a nerd. To me, that was a way smarter than average person that wore glasses, that loved science, and had a plastic pocket shirt protector that contained his ballpoint pens. I happened to look at him when we were seated in the auditorium during the teaching session, and there he was with his glasses on, and sure enough, there was his plastic pocket protector with his pens. He came to Bible study at Joyce's house, and then it was held at Hope's and Jay's, and then at Doug's and mine. He was always cheerful. The men that came liked their coffee, so I bought a carrot coffee maker, and each guy could pick out what they want. Donald always drank pumpkin spice. And I made him cookies for Doug, but made sure I put some on a plate to serve the guest on Bible study night. Donald never turned down cookies. But I actually knew he ate healthy food for the most part and was limited on sweets. But he sure liked those cookies. I often sent him home with some. He was so appreciative of Gary and Doug picking him up and taking him home since we didn't want him driving at night. He brought Gary and I little bags of Dove chocolates. He never missed a meeting, but will be missed on Thursday night Bible study. I love you, Brother Donald, Carol. I was thinking about Brother Donald. And, you know, all I could think of was just four things. I mean, there's billions of stuff, and the Kriegs made a wonderful thing of that, wherever Judy is. Number one, Brother Donald loved the Lord Jesus. I mean, bottom line, top line, middle line. He loved his family. He loved the fellowship. And he loved the Word of God. So to me, Brother Donald's life was, Christ was the Alpha and the Omega in Brother Donald's life.
Gary Van Wicklin is a brother in the Lord. He goes to Atlanta Road Christian Missionary Alliance Church. But he was Donald's transportation. But Donald stopped driving to the Bible study on Thursday nights. Gary would pick him up. So he and Donald had a relationship going just from the trip back and forth to the Bible study. So Gary sent an email. He couldn't be here, and I wanted to just share a few comments from Gary. Donald was an amazing man. Up until about 18 months ago, he always was prepared to share thoughts out of a commentary by J. Vernon McGee. He loved Dr. McGee. It was my honor and pleasure to drive Donald to and from our Bible study at the Moores home the past 2 years until COVID began. Donald appreciated my calling him every Thursday afternoon to let him know I'd be picking him up at 6:45 p.m. As soon as he heard my voice on the phone, I could tell he was relieved to know that he'd have a ride to the study. He was so thankful that he'd give me small bags of his favorite chocolates, something he certainly didn't have to do. Donald was a good conversationalist right up through the last time I picked him up, that last March. I'd ask him questions about his earlier life in New Hampshire and Iowa. He'd admit he couldn't remember some things, but he could remember the airplanes from World War II flying over his home in New Hampshire on their return after the war in Europe. He could tell by the sound of the engines what plane it was. I could ask him the latest news from family ministries, and he provided me with a fine report, including who was attending and who wasn't. I'd ask him what Christian books he was reading. He'd tell me then share that he was a slow reader these days. I know a lot of men half Donald's age that don't read anything at all. I'm going to miss Donald, but I certainly know he's in heaven where he won't be hurting any longer. I'm thankful that God put him and others in my path in southern Delaware. You can read all part of, oh, that's the end of it. I just want to say that I love Brother Donald too, and he loved the Word of God, like was previously said. And he loved a fellowship. Anytime the doors were open, he would be there. I call him the Energizer Bunny. I remember one year I visited Ed and Lillian, Hope and I visited Ed and Lillian in Rhode Island. Anyway, senior moment. Lillian fell flat on her face on the deck and broke her jaw. And she kept on going. She didn't even miss a beat. I remember that. And then also the same thing for Donald. That's why I called him the Energizer Bunny. One evening he was coming out of the Moore's house, fell flat on his face, fortunately on the grass. He didn't fall on the sidewalk. He fell off the sidewalk onto the grass, got right up, went right on. He lost his hearing aid, his glasses, but he didn't miss a beat. So I just want to say that we'll miss Brother Donald, won't we, Hope? Thank you.
Some of you can help me remember the year. But Harry and I went to his house for a Bible study. It was the first time he ever had a Bible study that I think, and it was in his house, and there was only a handful of us, and I don't even remember who else was in it. Were you there? Well, I couldn't remember, but I remember I learned about shortwave radio. He listened to the shortwave radio, and he could get all these things that we never could get. It was fascinating, and some of it was Christian, of course. And I just remember that. And also, we had the very first card table I had, which is terrible, had these. In fact, those are, when we had the picnic, we put the round thing on this wobbly card table that we have to straighten the legs out. Well, that had four chairs to it originally, and he covered those chairs for us. They were all coming apart, and he insisted. He took them home, and he covered those chairs for us. And he's something else. He really is. And everybody, I miss him. But everybody has fond memories of Uncle Donald.
I'd like to just make one comment about an overview of his life. By the way, when she fell down and you were there, they took me in a side room and interrogated me because of her injury. And they want to know if I was beating her up or something. Anyway, when I lived in Rhode Island, and I knew Donald only casually in Hashua, but he was very interesting, and I would always strike up a conversation. And so I was very early, I learned about his interest in astronomy and rocks and that. And he would always tell me about the latest meteors and stars and all of that. And very little about the Lord. And I didn't judge his heart, but I wanted to talk to him. And so every time I would bring up the Lord. Now, in the Bible, there's a chapter, Leviticus 25, on Jubilee. And I think you all are familiar with Jubilee. But there's many principles, but the big one is the closer you get to Jubilee, the more things lose their value. So if you purchased my property and you still had 40 years, you pay a good price. If you only had it for 30 years, because I'm getting it back, you'd pay less. If you bought it in the 48th year, it's almost free. So the closer you get to Jubilee, the more things lose their value. When I came to Delaware, that's been 6 years, I noticed a change in Donald. I would bring up astronomy, and he would bring up Dr. Jeremiah, or one of these Bible teachers. And to create a conversation, as it came closer and closer, there was less and less about science and about rocks. He gave me a sheet, I still have it, with that small printing on it, with all of the radio programs that he listened to, the stations they were on, the time that they were on, and the days when they were not on. He also included that and told me which substitute preachers would preach in if they're not here on this day, you know. But I just see Donald as one who is moving toward Jubilee. And before he fell, he would never miss a meeting, and he'd always be first one there. And the last meetings, he would always ask, "Why doesn't the Lord take me home?" And he would talk about his sister. He just wanted to go home. And every time now I think about Jubilee, I think about Uncle Donald, because the way he was, things lost their value. Look at the interest. And on this end, it's all Bible. And I just pray, because things are winding down for all of us. But as I get closer to Jubilee, I want to know what's valuable.
Just a quick thought. I've learned a lot more about Donald today than I ever knew. And that would be to my shame. You've heard the phrase, do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. And I would just recommend, I think we all know each other pretty well because we're just a real small group. But, you know, get into your friends' lives. Get to know people while they're still here instead of, you know, looking at the press clippings. So just an encouragement.
Just so you know, this is a picture of a clock he got when he retired from Collins Radio. The clock fell apart, wasn't worth fixing, but he just saved a little plaque. I'm going to throw that away. I found that in a drawer in a cabinet in the garage.
I don't, you know, you just can't reduce somebody's life to a table filled with scraps of paper and stuff. And maybe when our families, we won't, any of us, will any of us leave this much stuff here so that the memorial for one of us will be all like this? I don't think so. I won't. There was mind playing tricks on me here. I had something else to add, but I think that's. Well, yes.
I think we all loved Uncle Donald. I mean, he was at the Bible study every week, even like right up till we got shut down. but I was reading this week, and this scripture really touched my heart. And it just came back to my remembrance just now because of what we've all been sharing about Uncle Donald. And it is 2 Corinthians 5. Starting with verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, the tent we live in, is dismantled, we have a building from God, a house not built by human hands, that is eternal in the heavens. Amen. For in this earthly house we groan, because we desire to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed, after we have put on our heavenly house, we will not be found naked. For we groan while we are here in this tent, since we are weighed down, because we do not want to be unclothed, but clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life.
Amen.
It's good. What carries on is good.
So I think we can say he had a good life. He enjoyed, except for the last few months, he enjoyed all of his life, and he was a testimony.
Amen.
And that's what's important.
Amen.
He was a testimony.
Amen.
He didn't try to be a testimony. He didn't work at it. He did it because he enjoyed what he was doing. And he got more and towards the end more and more serious, as was said. He did get more serious. If you look at this table, there's a lot more. He was moving from left to right in his life, just like this table was. And towards the end, he was real towards the, he was on that side of the table, the right side of the table. And may we all be like that.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the testimony that Uncle Donald has laid out before us. Not just a table filled with papers, but his life. And you have led him every moment, all through his whole life, and we thank you for that. And Lord, may that be an example for all of us, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.